man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode. This week on the Rock News Weekly podcast, week of July 10th, 2023, season 5, episode number 26. This week, we talk about the Eagles announcing their farewell tour with Steely Dan. A release date has been announced for the Dio Dreamers Never Die documentary. Machine Gun Kelly punches a fan in the face by request at a recent show. And an unfortunate in memoriam this week as we've lost two guitarists, George Tickner, the original guitarist from Journey, as well as Rick Forberg, the guitarist and vocalist of Hot Snakes and Drive Like Jehu. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up at rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly.
All right, it's time for the Rock News Weekly podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here, as well as David. What's up, David?
Hello. Not much. Feeling pretty good.
Yeah? How's everything been going in your world?
Well, my life is dominated by a rescue dog that we got a few weeks ago, and we found out, we took him to the vet for the first time and found out he's no younger than 7 years old. He has falling out teeth. Uh-huh. And he pees everywhere.
All right. Well, that sounds like an adventure.
I've been
on a doggy adventure
with that. Yeah, yes. A doggy downer.
Oh, man. Well, hey, that's awesome that you guys got an adopted dog, at least. I'm a big fan of that, proponent of that. I don't like the designer dog routine in the market. So, hey, you know, you took a chance.
He's a sweetheart.
You rescued him. That's cool, man. Let's get to the rock news this week, guys. This week of July 10th. Season 5, episode number 26, Eagles announcing their farewell tour with Steely Dan. We'll talk about that and the first initial round of tour dates. What else? Dio Dreamers Never Die documentary. A release date has been set. It's coming out this fall. Machine Gun Kelly punches a fan in the face by request at a recent show. We'll get into what that's all about. And an unfortunate in memoriam this week as we've lost a couple guitarists, George Tickner, as well as Rick Froberg, guitarist and vocalist of Hot Snakes and Drive Like Jehu. So this week we're going to be talking about all that and more. Of course, everything's up, rocknewsweekly.com, all socials, all at Rock News Weekly. Same thing with YouTube. You'll find us there. All right, let's get to the tour news this week. As I mentioned, Eagles have just announced a series of 2023 tour dates, the first of their long goodbye farewell tour. Fellow Rock and Roll Hall of Fame act Steely Dan have been tabbed as support for the fall run. Now, if you notice, this really isn't the Eagles that a lot of people know. Glenn Frey passed away, and his son is in the group now. And they have some other people in the group.
They added the MyPillow guy with bleached hair on the far right side there.
Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell there.
Looking like Joe Walsh looking a little like Mike Lindell in his hippie era.
Yeah, yeah.
The Eagles expected to be on the road through 2025. First date announced. Looks like we got New York on September 7th. They're kicking it off at Madison Square Garden. Wow. And then going through Boston, New Jersey, Denver, Michigan, Ohio, Georgia, all the way through October and November. So if you guys are Eagles fans, it's going to be the last chance to check them out. Long goodbye tour, and there is no end date in sight, so it looks to be going through 2025 and beyond. So who knows?
Yeah, really.
All right, in memoriam. We had some unfortunate in memoriams this week, so let's get through this. Rick Froberg, the vocalist and guitarist of Hot Snakes, Drive Like Jehu, and Obits has died at the age of 55. John Rice, his longtime collaborator in Hot Snakes and Drive Like Jehu, confirmed his passing in a post on Instagram on Saturday, says, quote, Rick has passed away suddenly last night from natural causes. His art made life better. The only thing he loved more than art and rock and roll was his friends. He will be forever remembered for his creativity, vision, and his ability to bring beauty into this world. I love you, Rick. I'll miss you for the rest of my life. They first linked up in the post-hardcore band Pitchfork in the late 80s. They formed the emo rock group Drive Like Jehu and released their major label debut, Yank Crime, through Interscope in 94. Kind of shelved that, went to another group that I'm a fan of, Rocket from the Crypt. Those guys were from San Diego. He was in them, Rocket from the Crypt, for a long time. But by the end of the decade, formed his own record label, Swami Records. Then he formed Hot Snakes in the early 2000s and took a break for a while. But he was active again in 2018, so kind of sad to see all of that happen. He was even at Coachella in 2015. But yeah, unfortunate. RIP, Rick Froberg, at the age of 55. It says natural causes. What do you make of that? That's causes at 55?
55, that just sounds like a heart attack.
Heart attack? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Hopefully nothing drug related. If it says natural causes, I don't see how it could be. So
55 is just too young.
That's to way too young.
It seems like. Yeah. And it's so unexpected.
George Tickner, the other in memoriam this week, founding member of Journey, 76 years old. He was also a songwriter, wrote on the band's first three albums, founding member. The news was delivered by Journey's last remaining original member, guitarist Neil Sean. Shared the news on Twitter, wrote, "RIP George, you now fly with the angels." Sean posted the news on Wednesday. Cause of death was not revealed. So, not sure, but he does look pretty old and maybe in not the best of health, but I don't know. Just sad.
Yeah.
So, a couple guitarists lost.
Still had the good mustache.
He does have a pretty awesome mustache. Look at that.
Yeah.
That is legendary. All right. Let's move on to some more rock news. Release date announced for the Dio Dreamers Never Die documentary. This is going to be coming out on September 29th. Few metal vocalists greater than the late, great Ronnie James Dio. He was in Rainbow, Black Sabbath, his own solo project. He was in Elf. A lot of really cool stuff. Spanning his life and career, the documentary is going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray as well via Mercury Studios. There's a special deluxe edition that includes both of those, as well as a selection of branded Dio merch, including some trading cards, a lapel pin, guitar picks, some of that other stuff. So if you're into that, check it out. But man, it's going to be a pretty in-depth documentary. It premiered earlier last year during the South by Southwest Film Festival. And it's also been screened at Dio's widow and manager, Wendy Dio, served as the film's executive director. And she said she had a specific idea when it came to putting the documentary together. So, sounds like it was made with love and it's coming from the right place. It's not like some kind of a rip-off documentary. It's sanctioned by the family and Wendy herself. So, it looks to be pretty accurate. So, if you guys are into that, check it out. September 26th, Dreamers Never Die. All right. Peter Criss and Ace Frehley declined the Kiss final tour offer. So Gene Simmons says he's reached out and asked both Ace Frehley and Peter Criss to perform at the band's last ever shows this year. Remember we were talking about they're on their final tour, right? Well, they reached out. Ace Frehley kind of put Paul Stanley on blast earlier in the year and said, you know, basically, call me. This is bullshit. You guys, you know, if you want me to play or what are you guys doing here? Give me a call. And then Paul Stanley called him and said, F you to Ace Frehley, because I guess he didn't like the way that he kind of called him out in the media. And now this is surfacing again. And in a new interview on Louder.com, Gene Simmons is now saying, for quote, "For the older fans, the ones who've been around for 50 years, they're old and some of them want to see Ace and Peter. The newer fans never saw them and they don't know that era. We've invited them multiple times and they have all declined our offers. Fans were hopeful that the estranged pair of Criss and Frehley would come out even just for a few songs, but at this point it seems highly unlikely. Their shows are going to be December 1st and 2nd in the hometown of New York at Madison Square Garden." So what do you think of that? Do you think it's warranted? Do you think, you know, these guys are like, screw you, you know, we've been through enough, we don't want to even do the final tour shows? Or do you think it's one of those things where the only people that lose out is the fans on this kind of stuff, where why not put your differences down if it is going to be the final thing? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, putting differences aside, I like the poetry of it, you know? It'd be nice to have them all back together. And
yeah,
but
in theory.
People are people, though. It reminds you that even these, like, legendary acts like this, they're not... they're not immortal.
Right.
In the way you imagine them.
And they do have, like, pride and... feelings and I guess money isn't everything when it comes to this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's the point they're trying to make. I'm not really sure, because for us outside looking in, it seems like a no-brainer. Why not, you know, get the paycheck, do a couple songs, But for them, it's more of just like a pride thing or something, I guess. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But just unfortunate. Everybody loses in this situation. So, but doesn't look like you'll be seeing them on that final tour. Speaking of final tours, Motley Crue playing a secret gig in London on their final tour. A small venue for a crowd of 450 people. And they did it as a secret thing called Dogs of War. That was the name of the band. It said Dogs of War, the underground, or the underworld London, small place in London. Fans put it together, though, because Motley Crue, of course, posted it on their social media, which isn't really that big of a surprise.
There you go.
And they were also on tour in the area at the time, so people kind of put two and two together, figured it was going to be them, and it, sure enough, it was. They did a bunch of kind of cool cover tracks. They did like some. They did a medley with Beastie Boys, Beatles, Clash songs, and then, of course, you know, all their Motley Crue favorites. But I do like it when bands like this do shows like this at a small, intimate venue. It gives fans the chance to see a band kind of the way it used to be, and instead of this huge, massive stadium show where you're seeing them like a million miles away and they look like a little, you know, peon, and you're just watching the show through the live screen the whole time. Shows like this with bands of this caliber are few and far between, so I do like it when they take the time and kind of organize that. And what do you think of big bands doing these small shows like that?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, was Tommy Lee there?
He was.
I was just thinking it might be a lot easier for him to throw ribs at people in a smaller venue.
It would have been
like
a
he
more
can,
effective.
He can throw individual ribs at individual
Yes, that
people.
Is true. Right? We're talking about when he broke his ribs and threw ribs into the crowd last year. The tour kickoff of this final tour. This would have been good for a good ribbing for the crowd. It's prime,
that,
prime.
You
for
know
a good
that
ribbing.
Intimate setting, right? It makes it a lot easier.
I know. All right, all right. Speaking of fans and intimate settings and getting up close and personal, Machine Gun Kelly honoring this fan's wish to be punched in the face. Okay, so here's the fan. Here's the picture. It says, "I came from Mexico just for you to punch me in the face." And so,
is this a thing?
Yes, I have no idea. I don't know.
Is it like in a song where it's like, I punch
no,
you in the face?
Nope, I have no idea. We're going to watch the video, though, because, of course, somebody got a video of this, and we're going to show you guys. Of course, you can watch it on demand, YouTube, at Rock News Weekly. And, of course, we're live every Sunday, twitch.tv/Rock News Weekly. So let's watch this video here. A Machine Gun Kelly punching this fan in the face. All right, here we go.
He's actually going to do it.
Oh, wait, let me unmute it. He said, "Why do you want me to punch you in the face, man?" So now he's going to punch. And he says, "I love you," right after he punches him. What'd you think of that punch? It really wasn't too bad of a punch,
right?
Yeah,
it was just kind of a sock.
More of like a love tap.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a sock.
All right, let's watch it one more time for the people here. Is this a thing? Is this what kids are doing?
Yeah,
punch me in the face.
Is this a TikTok challenge or something?
Look at the security guys, like, I've never seen anything like that in my life. What
I'm
is wrong with
so
these kids?
So unhappy with this right now.
What is wrong with kids these days?
Which really, though, Machine Gun Kelly, he's pretty young, right?
Yeah. What is he, in his 20s? I don't know.
Fella. He's a little fella. Yeah. He's got his wife or his girlfriend is like in her 40s, isn't she?
Megan Fox?
Yeah, Megan Fox.
She's in her 30s. Old, right? Yeah, she's in her late 30s. He's like probably 10 years younger than her, I think.
I'm going to get her to translate for us. Like, what is going on here?
What is going on? I don't know. So there you go. That's what kids are doing. All right. This was a funny kind of thing here. Baby owls accidentally crash the Guns N' Roses rock show.
Yes.
Yes, these little baby owls, they were rescued by a wildlife team from underneath an outdoor stage. They apparently endured a Guns N' Roses set attended by a crowd of thousands. They were the headline act at Glastonbury Festival in England. So it's taken place on this big outdoor, you know, kind of a field. So, of course, there's a bunch of wildlife out there, and these guys come once a year to rock it out. Well, these baby owls were found alone, as their parents apparently are not rock fans and flew away sometime during the concert. The two chicks are currently enjoying life in an aviary at Secret World, a bird sanctuary. They have been named Axel and Slash.
Well, look at that.
And look at the little cheeky the headline here. Baby Owl finds their very own paradise city, isn't it? Axel and Slash. Yes.
Where the grass is green.
Lovely. Lovely.
That, you know, that's so English, right?
It is.
They have little messages.
Yeah.
They flew in and gave them messages. They're cute, though.
They are cute.
But
owls.
That's heavy metal. Owls are heavy metal.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. These are definitely the most metal owls out there. They saw a whole Guns N' Roses set. They actually saw the whole Glastonbury set. These owls have probably seen more concerts than kids, you know.
Yeah?
Kids nowadays. These owls are tour veterans. I think Guns N' Roses should take them on
they
tour with them.
They should take them on tour.
And raise awareness and about, like owl.
Can you do, you know how they have, like, falconers and they have, like, the falcon on their.
Yes.
Can they just, like, bring them to shows?
Yes. It'll be like Dumb and Dumber, and they'll have them in the thing, and then somebody will pop a champagne cork in the back and it'll kill them.
Dang it. Pretty bird.
I just thought
it's
really
quiet.
All right, we got some birthdays this week. Not too many of them, so let's get to it. Yes, birthday time. David, take it away.
Robbie Robertson, singer, guitarist, and actor. Of the band is 80 years old.
Big ol' 80.
Yeah, look at that. Ringo Starr, drummer for the Beatles, 83.
Side note, did you see that Ringo Starr is going to be in Modesto?
Really?
Yeah.
Performing?
Yeah.
I want to see that.
No, it's at the Fruit Yard. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, at the Fruit Yard in Modesto. It's Ringo Starr and his all-star band. And he's 83 and still touring.
That's crazy.
Pretty wild, huh?
That is crazy.
Ringo Starr coming to our area in Modesto not too long from now. I think it's like next month or something. So, but that's it for birthdays.
Wow.
Yeah, remember it was like 2 weeks ago we had like
so many.
Of them.
So many.
Well, apparently they took a break during this week. Not too many stars were
born.
Yeah,
what's 9 months ago?
Nine
months ago for rockers.
Yeah, it wasn't happening. Let's get to some trivia, though. We got trivia now. Let's do it. Okay, this week in rock and roll history trivia, guys, we got a pretty cool one here. These two musicians and future, so it was July 6th, 1957 that this happened. These two musicians and future bandmates met for the first time at St. Peter's Church Garden Feet in Woolton, where one of them was performing with their band, the Quarrymen, at the time. Soon after, they formed a legendary band that we all know. Who were the guys that met? Was it A, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant for Led Zeppelin, Keith Richards and Mick Jagger for the Rolling Stones, or C, Paul McCartney and John Lennon for the Beatles, or could it have been the iconic duo of David Cocaine Crosby and Wilford Brimley, known as Rootin' Tootin' Crosby and the Cocaine Mustaches of Marrakesh? A very cool band in the 50s, not very well known. All right, what do you think?
Well, I know it's not Wilford Brimley, because he's Mormon. He wouldn't have been at St. Peter's
Church.
Well,
oh, there you go. Okay, right? See, that's the giveaway. Dang it, I should have thought of that.
I'm going to guess it's the Rolling Stones. Keith Richards and Mick Jagger.
Young Keith Richards and Mick Jagger meeting for the first time, huh?
All right. For the fun.
All right, let's see. Who is it? It's actually Paul
Look
McCartney
at that.
And John Lennon.
Have I ever gotten one right?
Yeah, you have.
Have I?
I think you have.
Hey.
Paul McCartney meeting John Lennon for the first time this week. Well, it's July 6th, 1957. Here's a picture of John Lennon's band. Here's John Lennon. Paul McCartney isn't in this group. These were John Lennon's band known as the Quarrymen. And they were performing that looks like some kind of an outdoor, you know, type of setup there. And then soon after the show, Lennon invites McCartney to join the band. Here's another picture of John Lennon
at
the time. Here's John Lennon 66 years ago, July 6, 1957. This is the day that Paul met him at the Woolton Church. As the band were setting up, Paul, who was eager to impress Lennon, picked up a guitar, played 20 Flight Rock by Eddie Cochran and Bebopalooa, a Gene Vincent tune. Lennon was impressed, and even more so when he showed John and Eric how to tune their guitars, something they'd been paying someone else to do for them. The rest is history. So Paul kind of had a little bit of maybe expertise. They're like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. We don't have to pay somebody to tune our guitars. And then here's a picture of Paul joining the band for the first time with the Quarrymen. After that, this is their first gig with John Lennon and Paul. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, they look like they're ready to cross the ocean for religious freedom.
Look at those thin ties.
Those thin ties there.
Wearing a thin tie with the best of them.
Yeah.
All right, so we got some new metal and rock albums this week. Not too crazy of a list.
That's it?
Yep. All right.
Dude, it is my lucky week.
All right, let's go.
All right. Black Parade 2. Bloodbound, Tales from the North, Butcher Babies, Eye for an Eye, Be Free, Public's Address, Emma Ruth Rundle, Engine of Hell, Fur Schwans, Fegerfeuer, A Life Divided, Down the Spiral of a Soul, Nita Strauss, The Call of the Void, Various Artists, Steel Bars, A Tribute to Michael Bolton, and Withering Storm, Prophets of Demise.
But isn't the most interesting?
My cortisol levels are way down. I'm going to lose 5 pounds this week.
I think the most interesting release here is Steel Bars, A Tribute to Michael Bolton.
So these are heavy metal albums.
Yeah.
Or this is a heavy metal album Michael Bolton.
I want to look this up real quick, if you don't mind. I'm going to put this into the old internet machine. And
well, I hear Michael Bolton is actually quite cool.
Is he?
I don't know. Actually, maybe he's a terrible monster.
I want to see this. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I'm gonna pull this up on the
Steel Bars.
Whoa! Huh?
Okay, I'm gonna pull this up here.
It's kind of steampunk looking.
I don't recognize any of these people. I thought these were going to be bands that we would know, like, you know, Motley Crue covering.
Yeah.
No, these are
Ronnie
like
Romero.
I have no idea who these
people
are.
And James Robledo.
Okay.
Maybe I... Let's see this.
I don't know. It's just... Yeah, it says, features appearance by members of The Big Deal, About Us, Storm Warning, Gearish and the Chronicles, Find Me, FM, and more.
Sinner's Blood. I mean, these are definitely heavy metal.
Yeah. I have no idea. These are all his songs, though. These are all Michael Bolton songs.
Gina.
How Can We Be Lovers? Fool's Game. Save Our Love. I mean, these are not metal songs, so these are all Michael Bolton songs.
Desperate Heart.
In a metal format. I don't know. I guess that we'll have
that
to check that
lovely.
Out. Yeah, oh yeah. Fantastic. All right. Movie, TV, entertainment news. Indiana Jones, total bomb. Dud. Did you see it?
I did see it.
You did? What'd you think of it?
I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Well, they're saying that it's reaching the low end of its projections as far as the initial response. They're saying the Star Wars flop Solo even had a better premiere than Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny. They had only got $60 million over the weekend. In comparison, Solo, which they considered a flop, got $84.4 million. Transformers Rise of the Beast, $61 million. That was another comparable flop. So it says, according to the film, it was destined to live in a temple of box office doom after receiving negative reviews following its premiere at the Cannes Film Festival earlier this year. So what's your review? Let's hear
David's
review.
Well, I would say, you know, I could see how it bombed.
Yeah.
For me, Indiana Jones was a big sort of a big presence in my young life.
Yep.
When I was a kid, I watched Indiana Jones like on a loop.
Yep.
Pretty much. And you know, I miss movies where you kill Nazis. I've been meaning
we
to
don't
see
have
some more Nazi killing movies.
Yes,
I think
I agree.
That's that we're forgetting how much Nazis need to be killed.
Yes.
And so I liked that. And also, I mean, for me, it was emotional seeing Harrison Ford in this movie later in his life, where it seems like he's getting pretty close to finishing the movie.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like his
song. So, I mean,
song.
To me, it was a little bit emotional. So, I don't know that necessarily the movie was the summer blockbuster. I mean, it ends very emotionally. It's not like most Indiana Jones movies where you have an explosion or something like that and everyone's running out of a temple. It ends with just sort of this I don't know how to say it. I don't want to give it away.
Also, what do you think? Did you notice the thing where they time graphically changed Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Uncanny Valley thing? I mean, I didn't think it was Uncanny Valley. I just thought it was not very good CGI. It was like you could see his mouth moving like it was like Babe. Remember Babe?
Yeah.
And they were just first doing this stuff, and the mouth kind of like looks a little bit. It was a little bit like that. Like his mouth would move almost like a human's mouth would move, but just not quite there. Is that Uncanny Valley?
No, yeah.
I thought Uncanny Valley was like a little too realistic or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't look perfect.
Yeah.
It did not look perfect.
Not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, I think you're along the right lines of what I would feel about it, too, is that I would watch it more for a personal thing and not a summer blockbuster thing.
Yeah, I could see how it would flop. I liked it, but I don't know if it's for everyone.
Right. And it makes sense. Looks like the box office was just bad all around, to be honest. I mean, look at this. I mean, the top movie was $60 million, and everything else is coming under $15 million. Usually, these are in the 20s, 30s for second and third place. So, a lot of movies really maybe just not grabbing people's attention right now. And
well, it's 4th of July.
It's holiday weekend.
That's a tradition in my family is to go see a movie for 4th of July. And that's usually because there's not that many people there.
Yep. So. And it's because, everybody's on vacation. So, yeah, that's a good point. All right. Speaking of movies, have you heard about this? The Mattel executive saying this new Barney movie will be for adults, and it's actually going to be starring Get Out actor Daniel Kaluuya, which is really cool. Have you seen Get Out?
Yeah.
He's one of my, and also Nope. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I've
seen that. He's great in that as well. And they say it is not going to be a children's film. Executive Kevin McKeon told The New Yorker that the movie will be an A24 type and surrealistic. He added, quote, "We're leaning into the millennial angst of the property rather than the fine-tuning this for kids. It's really a play for adults. Not that it's R-rated, but it'll focus on some of the trials and tribulations of being 30-something, growing up with Barney, just the level of disenchantment within the generation." Kind of interesting, right? What do you think about that?
So it's a love letter to millennials.
In a way, sounds like.
Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, you think about it, you could do a lot with that.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stuff that
there's
you were taught by Barney as a kid, and that it's all just like thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
We get to this age, and people are like, don't be kind.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm kind of interested, and he's a great actor.
Oh yeah.
So anything
is
he's
he
associated
with Barney?
I don't know. Yeah.
Is
maybe
he's gonna take off the. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then all the kids.
Or he could be like, maybe he was one of the kids on the show.
On the show.
Like, and then, you know, became disenfranchised.
Wasn't there a thing with Barney? Like, wasn't Barney accused of some sort of.
I think Barney is Barney the same guy that plays Elmo or no? Is that different? That Michael guy?
I don't know.
We'll have to look into it. But yeah, there might have been something there.
I thought the Barney person got, like, in trouble for something.
Could have been. I don't know. But sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'll go see that.
Yeah, right. All right, YouTube, trying to get that money from you. YouTube has been for a long time, since it started in 2007. It's always been a free service, you know, and their latest move towards YouTube Premium, and now this anti-ad blocker move is really cracking down. A lot of people, do you have ad blockers? Do you use them when you watch YouTube and stuff
like that? I should, and I had a student, because I'm always playing YouTube videos, and it like...
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, then it plays like some Taco Bell commercial or something,
Mr.
and all the
Chambers.
Students are like, Dr. Chambers, can you stop for a second? Okay, now go over to this. And they
and
like,
go
and they like,
blocker.
I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? They like, type this, and I type it, and they're like, okay. I've had that happen. And it worked for, and it was on one computer, but then I was like, how did I do that?
So YouTube is now, they're going to cut you off on that.
So I can't do it.
Yeah.
Now.
So
like,
ad blockers.
You've got to watch my Taco Bell ads.
Yeah. Check it out. If ad blockers are detected, they have new software now. It's being rolled out in the form of a three-way strike, where if an ad blocker is detected, YouTube will warn you, urge you to shift to YouTube Premium. And if you fail to comply, your access to your current video will be cut off instantly. Additionally, you will be limited to only 3 videos on the platform. After that, your access will be blocked altogether. This does not apply if you're not using any ad blocker to begin with, but for people with ad blockers, they're cracking down. Isn't that crazy? They just can't get away from that. They, you know, like
you have to
think about
this.
What a small percentage of people have ad blockers, really. Like in the gist of things, yeah. I would imagine it's like 5% of the population.
Not that many people, probably.
Not even, and they just can't stand
this, it. Nope, it can't. This cannot be.
Yep.
This cannot.
Not gonna
be.
Outsmart us.
Wow.
All right, 4th of July. So what did you do for 4th of July? Where were you at?
I went to go see a movie in the morning, and then in the evening I went over to friends with my family, and we swam in the pool.
Nice.
And then did some fireworks later on.
Yeah, we didn't do much either. We just hung out here locally here in the Central Valley, what we're talking about temperature-wise. It was a pretty hot one.
It was pretty hot, but still was not
as
super hot.
But apparently,
like, I expected it to be a lot hotter.
This past Tuesday was the hottest day ever
day
on Earth.
Ever on Earth's recorded history.
Yes, an average of 62.9 degrees across the world, surpassing a record set only the day before. So the July 3rd was the new hottest day, and then July 4th surpassed it. Until this week, the hottest day on record was in 2016, back when El Nino was happening and stuff like that. So pretty wild, man. That's a scary looking graphic.
It's very red.
Yes, I
very
do not
red.
Like that. Oh, man, that
is scary looking. Yeah.
Don't like that. All right, let's talk about some science, some cool science. A 407-million-year-old plant.
Oh, it's a plant. I thought it was like a Gila monster's nipple.
Right? Well, we're looking at the Fibonacci sequences here on these these spiral patterns that David's talking about. It's an illustration of these Fibonacci sequence spiral patterns. So it's a spiral sequence of numbers that it's most living plants and have these spiral patterns in them. These spirals are so common, scientists have thought the patterns must have evolved in some of the earliest land plants. But this is the first time in 407 million years that they found a plant that does not adhere to this Fibonacci sequence. The leaves of this ancient plant that they found, a member of one of the first plant groups known to have developed leaves, were arranged in spirals that can't be described by Fibonacci numbers. Researchers reported in the June 16th magazine Science. That's pretty cool.
This is the precursor.
Right.
Like before they figured that out.
Yes. This could be like the missing link in terms of some of those things, right? Where did this come from? What were the predecessors before this spiral? And what led to the spiral, you know? So that's kind of a neat thing. And it's a 407 million year old fossilized plant that they're able to pull this from.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. I think it's just so old that it's before maybe the evolution of plants. Like, I think the Fibonacci sequence and the spiral stuff is connected to evolution in some way, in my rudimentary knowledge of it. And I think that maybe this plant was so old that it was before what we've known in our studying and what we've had available to us as far back as we could go. Maybe this is slightly older than that, and it's just before all the stuff that we've known. So, I don't know. What do you think?
That sounds believable. I was going to go with aliens.
Oh, I like that. I like that idea, too. So you're saying
it's
it could
always
be just
aliens.
Totally
it's
out of this world
aliens.
In a general sense.
Yeah. Did you hear about the guy, the Harvard scientist?
No.
That just discovered some, like, or he believes it's, like, fragments of extraterrestrial technology.
No, what is it?
I should have told you about this earlier this week. Dang it, we should have had it in there.
That sounds cool. So some kind of
Harvard scientist.
Unexplained material.
Yeah, these small metal like balls that came with a meteor.
Right.
And he's like, this looks like it was produced rather than naturally occurred.
Right.
So
I love
maybe
that.
Maybe we'll find it for next week.
Yeah.
I always love talking that kind of funny.
No, me
stuff.
Too. I love it.
Right.
And I think our listeners love it too, because it's just exploring what's the possibilities, what could
right?
be, you know?
Right.
Well, nothing wrong with that. So anyway, pretty cool on that. All right, we got another neat little scientist story that's
aliens. Oh,
yeah, no. Speaking of aliens, flying cars, they're happening. California company has received FAA approval to demonstrate a flying car. Aleph Aeronautics is working on an electric two-seater that can drive on public roads and land on a regular parking space, but can also take off and land vertically. It has a flight range of 110 miles an hour, or 110 miles, excuse me, according to the company. Here's a picture of the artist's rendering of it.
So it's a rendering, it's not the actual...
No, this is the actual car. Right here.
There's a real... It's real.
It's real.
And it works?
And it works.
Holy
Toledo. And this company has received FFA approval to demonstrate and test it. So they have... I guess they have to get FFA approval because it's going to be in the air of some kind. So isn't that crazy?
So it is finally coming true.
It's true. We're here. We got flying cars. Pretty wild. You know what else is wild? Cocaine was found in the White House this week. In a cubbyhole in the West Wing entry area. Secret Service currently investigating... But they're examining the visitor logs and reviewing camera footage because they're saying it's where the visitors go to put their stuff in the cubbies. So White House spokesperson says, where this thing was discovered is a heavily traveled area where many West Wing visitors come through. During a routine Secret Service sweep, an unidentified substance was found, leading to a brief closure. They tested it, and they did find that it was cocaine.
It is cocaine. It's not laundry detergent.
No. Administration officials are able to offer tours to the part of the West Wing to family and friends. People who are not members of staff must leave the electronics in the storage cubicles. That's where they found the cocaine.
Wow.
Who is stupid enough to do that, first of all? And then who's stupid enough to, like, put it in the cubbyhole? Like, oh, I'm going to go get this later.
Go on into the
White
House
with my
keys, my cocaine,
my wallet, my cocaine.
My little
baggie.
Wow.
What the hell, man?
Come on. Let's come up with some folks. Let's see. Who's visiting the White House, though?
Right. Yeah, I want to know what baseball team was there. What?
Yeah.
What? You know, who was there visiting the White House this week? We're gonna find it. Was Cat Williams there? Was it? who is that crazy to bring a bag of cocaine into the White House? And how do they get it that far? Too?
Yeah. Don't they?
They got drug dogs or something?
Search you and stuff.
Like
yeah.
They have a drug dog as you're going in there? I don't know. Maybe not. Obviously not.
Maybe they thought, oh, no, this couldn't be what we think it is.
Sure enough, like, was.
This isn't that cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Last story. This is crazy. Oh, yeah. Two more. Okay. Carowinds roller coaster shut down. Look at this crack.
Good gosh, man.
Look at this crack. Okay. We're going to watch this video, which is absolutely terrifying. This video of this lady took this video standing outside in the parking lot. And this is what spawned the closure and actual repairs being done because this lady took this video. It wasn't a staff member. It wasn't their own investigation. It was this lady blowing them up on social media that actually got this done. So here it is. Check it out. Look at as they go by.
Oh my gosh. All my fears.
Look at that. I know. And people.
Where is this? Sweden?
No, this is in the United States.
In the U.S.
Yeah, this is in Caraway, something, some kind of a theme park called Carowinds. Carowinds roller coaster in North Carolina.
Okay.
Their Fury 325 roller coaster and a huge crack. It wasn't designed right, and people are starting to notice that, obviously. Posted the video on the Carowinds fans only Facebook page, and now it's closed for repairs.
Big fans.
Yeah, hey,
big
check
fans.
This out. Big fan of your roller coaster. Oh my God,
I'm
right?
Just going to guess this place is definitely going to stay in business.
Totally. And it just reinforces why I don't get on roller coasters at this point in my life.
Yeah. You've been on one?
Not lately. The past like 20
years.
You know,
I used to go on the Giant Dipper in Santa Cruz. And
I'd
just
go on all of them.
And I'd go on it all day. We'd buy the wristband. And I went on there with my wife and a couple friends.
Recently?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I really was going to puke.
Yeah, I got.
And my friend got off and he did puke.
Yeah, I got really disoriented and sick the last time I went on a coaster. Me and my friend Dino went to Great America, and we went on Top Gun.
Oh, gosh. Top Gun got me destroyed when I was
in seventh
grade.
It ruined my day. Like, I was like, why am I doing this as an adult as I was going on the coaster? I'm like, why am I doing this? What am I doing, you know?
Jacked me up in seventh grade or eighth grade.
Oh, my God. Anyway. So, yeah. Crazy, huh? Okay. I thought you would get maybe a kick out of this. As a 32-year-old allegedly posed as a student at three different high schools, former social worker Shelby Hewitt posed as a 16-year-old student at three Boston high schools during this last school year. Here's a picture of her actually as 16 in 2007. Here's a picture of her now.
Oh, definitely. She's
totally
definitely
16.
16.
Totally, right? Classmates said Hewitt ate lunch and gossiped with the students and often seemed upset. There was a student quote here, quote, "It was low-key like she was lying about something," student Isaiah Price said. Yeah, lying about her age and identity. She worked for the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families from 2016 until February and stands accused of forging documents to attend these high schools. Why do you think she would do that?
It doesn't tell us?
It doesn't say. They're investigating it. It's like in the investigation right now.
So there was, I heard a few months ago about a woman who did this, and she did it so she could learn to read.
Oh my God.
There was a woman who,
learned
English or something like that.
Oh my God.
And it was really, but this one is just
she's like,
what are you doing, this 21 Jump Street?
Yeah, she's already working for the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families.
What?
She's a social worker.
She's like, I just wasn't popular enough in high school. I feel like I could get it right this time. I'm smart.
I can do it. I'm gonna forge documents and do it. All right, this was the last story of the week. Joey Chestnut, waiting out rain, wins the 16th Mustard Belt. Eating superstar Joey Jaws Chestnut, 62 Franks and buns in 10 minutes.
You're really good at sliding those on down the throat there.
He out ate runner-up Jeffrey Esper. He only got 49 hot dogs and buns. He beat him by 13 Franks and buns.
So do you know any of the rules on these kinds of things? Do they have to chew them all?
Yeah, they do. And they can have like water. What I see a lot of them do, which is like the grossest thing on earth, is they have big pitchers of water and they dip the entire bun and hot dog in the water.
Okay.
So it like disintegrates super easy and it's not all chewy, and they just dip it in water and just like, oh dude, it's so
good. Well, cuz I know I ate one of those like pound hamburgers when I was in college. And it wasn't really that bad for me. I was just like boom, put it down, but I was really quite full and I just drank some water and I felt better.
Water's the key. That's the key. Okay, last little hot topic. Do you like ketchup on your hot dog?
Of course.
Well, they say it's not acceptable if you're an adult. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council has ruled in on this, David, and they told you ketchup is not an acceptable addition to your Franks. They say, quote,
the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council?
NHDCSC, yes.
Oh my goodness, okay.
Eric Mittenthal, the president of this association, says, quote, the sweetness is just not the ideal match for a hot dog. And he went on to say, quote, as New Yorkers know, mustard and onions and sauerkraut are preferable toppings. However, Mark Rosen of this other company defended the condiment, saying that a survey in 2021 found that 61% of Americans enjoy their hot dogs with a few squirts of ketchup. So what do you think of this controversy?
Well, I think that's a very ethnocentric approach.
Right?
Like, is he imagining that everyone must eat their hot dog like a New Yorker?
New York and a Chicago dog,
and
too.
And a Chicago. I mean, like you got your sauerkraut. It's like, we don't even have any Germans around here. Where
we don't have any
sauerkraut?
Hot dog stands that have that.
Yeah.
I know. It's a regional thing. I think I agree with
they
you
They don't
on
even
that.
Call them that. Or they call them a Polish or something like
right?
that. Like when you put sauerkraut and crap on it.
I'm in the ketchup camp as well. I do like the combo of both.
Good gosh, man. It's all about... I don't even know if I put mustard on it last time I had a hot dog.
Right. Well, there you go. It's a whole thing, anti-ketchup on hot dogs. How do you guys feel? What did you have on the 4th of July? Let us know.
I.
Crazy, huh? That's it for us this week, guys. Rock News Weekly, everything at rocknewsweekly.com. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week, all right? Have a good one.
Peace.
One.